Now we know that God's judgment against those who do such things is based on truth. So when you, a mere human being, pass judgment on them and yet do the same things, do you think you will escape God's judgment?
Or do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness, forbearance, and patience, not realizing that God's kindness is intended to lead you to repentance? But because of your stubbornness and your unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath against yourself for the day of God's wrath, when his righteous judgment will be revealed. This will take place on the day when God judges people's secrets through Jesus Christ, as my gospel declares.
Good morning. There we go. I have this t-shirt. This beautiful t-shirt. It has lost and found. And some of us are lost sheep, but you know what? Through Jesus Christ, we are found. Amen? So, I want to give you guys a great opportunity to support Connect Four by buying one of these t-shirts after church. Buying one of these t-shirts after church to support your fellow youth pastor and the youth group for our CIY trip. These shirts are only $10. I have them in adult small to double XL. So, yes. You gotta love Doug. So I'll just put this here. There we go. So, yeah, lost and found. Alrighty. So we've been in the study of Romans, man, some tough stuff in here. And I'm just letting you guys know, it only gets tougher. Like, there's some beautiful things in Romans, but today, you know, it's not always the prettiest thing to get up here and give you the scriptures that are very complex. So, what I want you to know is that you have no excuse because you know better. Parents, you guys might have told your kids this before. You have no excuse. You know better to say them words and not brush your teeth at night. So let's go ahead and go to the first scripture I had highlighted. And if you are a note taker, if you're somebody who likes to underline words in your Bible and you know, keep them for later, I really want you to underline the word contempt. That is a very important word, that word contempt. And by the way, I'm speaking out of the NIV translation. You guys might have the NLT, so the translation, the words are a little different. NIV is what I favor a little bit more, but all good. Contempt, that word contempt, underline it. And it says, verse 4, "Or do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness, forbearance and patience, not realizing that God's kindness is intended to lead you to repentance?" Verse 5. "But because of your stubbornness and your unrepent heart, you are storing up wrath against yourself for the day of God's wrath, when his righteous judgment will be revealed." That word, righteous judgment. Go ahead and underline righteous judgment. Write it down. Take that note. That righteous judgment is very important. All right. And then verse 16. This is like to cap it all off. And this is, thank you, Jesus. "This will take place on the day when God judge people's secret through Jesus Christ, as my gospel declares." I want you guys to know is that between these 16 verses, this last scripture, this last verse, if that wasn't in there, we are in trouble. We are in trouble. So if you still want to underline, take notes, I need you to underline through Jesus Christ. Through Jesus Christ. Please engage with me in prayer. Bow your heads where you're at. Heavenly Father, we come to you today as sinners, as children, as servants, Father. Lord, I want to pray over the salvation of the First Christian Church congregation, Lord. We all come from different walks of life. People who've been with you for many years and people who are new in their faith, Lord, and some people who do not know where they're at or people who may not believe, Lord. Regardless, you've brought them here today, and they are here with us. Father, and I just pray that through community, through love, through your grace, that we're able to receive this word, your truth, and we're able to digest it and use it as wisdom for the future, Father. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your son, Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. All right. So I need you guys to say this. You have no excuse. Because you know better. Look, we said that a little too flat. I need you to look at somebody else and say, you have no excuse. Because you know better. Like, some of you guys are like, that's cheesy. I don't want to do it. I don't want to. No, you have no excuse. No, I have no excuse. Yeah, I know. Hey, you guys, when I get up here, I'm animated. I'm going to give energy because everything I do, especially when it comes to God, I'm passionate about it, all right? So if I weird some of you guys out, that's okay. I'm doing it for Jesus Christ, not for the acceptance of men, amen? Like, we have to get on, we have to be set on fire for Jesus. And today I'm letting you guys know you can do that. And so if you need to do something that you've never done in this church, let it be known that you're on fire for Jesus Christ. Yes. So I'm going to go into the complexity of Romans, all right? I have to exegete this text, and believe me when I tell you, I've literally sat on it for probably a month and a half now, and I struggled because it's so hard to give a sermon on this passage because there's some things in here that you're not going to like. All right. And so to the average person, the book of Romans is very, very complex. If you just were to read it, you'd be like, what did I read? And to be able to comprehend, to be able to digest the mature language that Paul is using, we need to reread multiple times. We need to compare translations. We need to engage in conversations and go over different commentaries. And most importantly, talk to God about it. Prayer. See, Paul writes in such a complex language. And he writes this book because he is speaking to people who know better. He's speaking to people who have no excuse for acting the way they were when they were children. He's speaking to a congregation just like ours. He's speaking to people who are educated and who are engaged with Christ, but they engage in sometimes immature things and stupendous ideologies. He's trying to reach the people who have everything they need to prosper and thrive with Jesus Christ, but these people want to reach heaven without Jesus Christ. So he speaks in a complex way. Why does he do that? Because he understands that if you understand this, if you understand what he is trying to say, that means you've prayed about it. You've read over it multiple times. You've thought about it. You've engaged in conversations. And for someone who wants to be immature, you will never understand it. But someone who wants to seek the gifts of life, the fruits of the Spirit, he reveals it in complex language because he knows there's a gift that is deeper than the eyes can see. So what can we expect What can we expect in this verse or in these verses? The righteous truth. And when I tell you you're going to get the righteous truth, I'm trying to tell you the truth might hurt. Right? Sometimes I'll hear things and you really don't want to hear it. And it's like, ooh, that doesn't make me feel good. And we've all been there. Secondly, to be held accountable. And when you're being held accountable, sometimes you have to pay up. Sometimes there is a price to be paid and you have to pay up. You may say, Father, I don't have the fund for it. It does not matter. It's time to pay up. Thirdly, you have a defense attorney. The best lawyer you can afford. So, go ahead and turn to the next slide. And I want us to say it one more time because I'm going to pound it in our heads so we understand what this is saying. Say, neighbor.
Neighbor.
One more time. Come on. Neighbor.
You have no excuse.
Why? Because you know better. And that saying sounds kind of corny. It sounds kind of funny, but you as a Christian, you know better because the Holy Spirit is dwelling in you. In that time where you're by yourself, maybe at night, maybe it's the time where somebody cut you off or, you know, the restaurant lady's being kind of rude. And you're supposed to exemplify God's love, and you don't. But at the end of the day, you know better. So you have no excuse. You're a child of God. You have no excuse. You know better. You done came to church for this long, and for you to leave here and act differently, no, you have no excuse. You know better. You have that Bible at your in front of you. You guys can take a Bible, and you can read it. You can apply it to your life. You have no excuse. You know better. So I have a story for you guys, all right? And it's crazy how everything works out. God is, man, he blew my mind up, right? So on December 16th, anybody knew what happened? Anybody remember? Something happened. All right, let me just tell you, all right? This great guy, man, he's pretty handsome, and he got ordained. he got ordained in this church, December 16th. You know, it's something that I will never forget. And to be ordained means that you stood through the process, like you went through the testing, like you have shown the church and the elders that you want to take the next step. And it's a lifestyle. This is a lifetime commitment. This is not just me saying it for a week. Like, no, I'm committed. I'm invested. I am married to Christ. I am not changing. There is nobody who's going to take this from me. I can only take it from myself. And so I got ordained, and I went through this process. But let me tell you something, that a piece of paper and a few agreements doesn't save you from the test of righteousness. It didn't, that piece of paper did not catapult me to just being completely changed and saying that, oh, I can just go into life being okay. So I'm saying I'm willing to be held at a higher standard. I'm willing to separate myself and dedicate my life to being like Christ, but sometimes that causes problems with my flesh. And some of you guys know what I'm talking about. So I got to go home, and these are the ones who I do it for, you guys. I have my little brother Josiah, who I'm holding right there, and my other little brother Malcolm, and then on the right side I have Ronzenay, who's She's in the Naval Academy. Very smart young lady. I love her to death. That was my road dog and the person I fought with the most. And then you have little Trinity. And so those are the, when I go home, I have to see them. They have to know who their big brother is and what he is doing. I have to show them. I have to bridge that gap. Because I come from a broken family, a broken home. All right? To let you guys in on a little something, we all have different fathers. We're so connected, but we're also separated. So I go home and I'm on my spiritual high horse and I'm feeling good about myself. I have this certificate. Look, you know, woo. Like, you know, I feel like I really did something. And I go to visit my mother in her apartment, which, you know, glory to God that he blessed her with an apartment for us to have Christmas in. And so I'm there, and this was Christmas Eve, and my grandma, who I love dearly, threw my mother under the bus. And she goes, my grandma knows what she's doing. Sometimes, you know, mothers, daughters, y'all feud a little bit. And my grandma goes, my grandma's Asian, so I always try to do her accent, but I won't do that. But to cut to the chase, my grandma throws my mother underneath the bus because she tells me that the man that used to do drugs in the house, the man who used to hit my mom in front of me, the man who was the reason that police was coming in and out of my house, had been there recently. And me, knowing me now as a man, as somebody who is able to defend myself, as somebody who's really ready to go to war for my own, spewed utter stupidity because I was so angry. And I'm talking about this man. How dare you let him come in here? Are you serious? The man that left Little Trinity fatherless? Are you serious? I was hurt. I was very mad. Well, God knew exactly what he was doing. He did. He knew exactly what he was doing. Because I walked into my mother's house the very next day, which was Christmas. And Christmas Eve, I went to go visit my sisters who end up getting adopted. I went to go stay the night with them at their adopted home. Then I came back for Christmas to spend time with my little brothers, my mother, my grandma, and everybody. And when I was there, man, I got hit. I got blindsided. If you guys know about football, you know blindsides are now legal because they cause concussions. They rattle your head, and I'm letting you guys know my head got rattled. Because, see, I spewed, and sometimes when you spew, you know, God says, okay, I got something for you. And I walked into the house, and there on the couch was one of the other ex-boyfriends slash fathers of one of my brothers, and he threatened me as a teenager boy and said, one day you and I can fight when you get old enough. Yeah, I'm letting you guys in on something deep. He said, when you get old enough, you'll have your chance to fight me. Because when I was 15, I didn't have the chance. So now that I'm 24, I said, I got the chance now. And I seen him there. He was weak. He was feeble. I know he stand no chance. I'm much bigger now. I'm in my male body. And the anger drove into me. And I'm letting you guys know that day, he's lucky it was Christmas. Because I have trauma in my head. Y'all see me now, but I dealt with some stuff. And then so I was like, wow, on Christmas? Seriously, Mom? This is what I come home to? And then next thing you know, this new guy that she's talking to is outside with his daughter. And I'm like, what the heck? Like, you got this dude here, and then you got the dude you're talking to outside. Like, what is going on? And I said, you know what? I got to get a breath of fresh air. I got to get out. I'm going to tell you guys, God knows what he's doing. Because the very man that I spoke bad about, the man that probably caused me the worst pain, the man who my grandma talked about that left my sister Trinity fatherless as all the others did and me, I seen him in the distance and he was approaching me. To go back to the text, what is the Apostle Paul telling us? That there is a different way to judge, that there is a way not to judge. Calling out the speck in your brother's eye and missing the 2x4 in your eye is very dangerous. It is very dangerous, meaning we are not righteous or innocent as we think we are. Ultimately, what that is saying is that we need to check ourselves before we wreck ourselves. We need to not consider ourselves as all that in a bag of chips just because we're on our holier-than-thou mindset. Paul is speaking to a church filled with Jews and Gentiles in the book in Romans. And I kind of thought it was funny because I feel like sometimes we're kind of like this. We have people who are very traditional, who are very set in their religious ways. And then you have people who are a little more modern and people who are younger. And they're like, you know, we got Jesus Christ. We don't need to do all that. You know, some people like him. Some people like contemporary Christian music. Like, just for comparative reasons, I'm saying the Jews and Gentiles are similar to us, and maybe you guys might find yourself on more of the modern Gentile, or you might find your ways in more of a stronghold Jewish way. And so this church is battling with each other, and they're at war with each other, and Paul is telling them, like, yo, y'all need to stop judging each other. You guys need to stop tearing each other down. You guys are doing all this, but you're being destructive to the house of God. And Paul realizes that these people are calling each other out for their wrongs or for the other wrongs, but seems to disregard their own troubles. So it's safe to say that nobody has an excuse because they all know what is wrong, but seems to not call out their own. Hypocrisy within the church is very dangerous, very, very dangerous, and so is judgment. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying you guys can't judge life circumstances. Like, if somebody was abusing a child, you're supposed to judge that. You're supposed to call them out. You're supposed to, you know, call out the obvious things. You know, you're not supposed to be like, hey, I don't judge. You know, do what you want. No, as Christians, we're supposed to keep each other accountable. You're supposed to call it out, but don't do it with neglect of your own situation. Do it with love and with care. So Matthew chapter 18, verse 15 through 17 says, if your brother or sister sins, go and point out their fault just between the two of you. If they listen to you, you have won them over. But if they will not listen, take one or two along, so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. If they refuse to listen, tell it to the church. If they refuse to listen even to the church, treat them as you would a pagan or a tax collector. You Christian brothers and sisters now have no excuse on how to deal with somebody who may be in sin. You know, we all sin in the church, but we're also supposed to hold each other accountable and love each other. God, it's right down right there. So I want you guys to imagine you're in a courtroom. We're in a courtroom, the judge, jury, gallery, right? You have a prosecutor, a defense attorney, and of course, you have the defendant. Go ahead and sit up here. And when you're in court, judgment takes place, and a verdict is made. Your sins will have you looking like my boy here, John Huff. Mr. Jonathan Huff is appearing in court today for the debt of his actions. When you continue to do wrong, eventually it will all catch up to you. Obviously, you didn't learn from your mistakes on your own. So today is time to pay up. So point one, the truth hurts. The truth hurts a lot. And in Romans chapter 2, verse 4, it says, or do you show contempt? There's a word, contempt of court. If you guys know that word, but it says, "Do show contempt for the riches of his kindness, the forbearance and patience, not realizing that God's kindness is intended to lead you to repentance." Because we choose to worship ourselves, we tend to forget why we are here. We fail to appear in court and confess our sins. We show contempt to God's court. Contempt means the feeling that a person or a thing is beneath consideration, worthless, deserving scorn, the offense of being disobedient to or disrespectful to a court of law. Have you guys been disobedient to God's court? Have you showed disobedience to his judgment? You might show God you follow him time and time, but we all know you trip, you stumble, you fall off the righteous path. But some of us don't follow all the time. You know, like you love God, but you don't act like you love God all the time. You pray to God, but you know, you don't pray to God all the time. You confess your sins, but you don't confess to God all the time. You know, you repent, but you don't repent all the time. What I am trying to say, church, is we're not as pure and holy as we think we are. And the truth does hurt, and the truth humbles you. And I want to let you know that when you're humbled, you're saying there is work to be done. Amen? What I'm saying, we have work to do. So point two. To be held accountable. And see, you might not want to do it, but it's time to pay up. And to hear your wrongs is one thing, but to know that you have to pay for your wrongs causes people to do some things that are regrettable. When you know that you have to pay up and you have to be accountable, it scares people away from the church. That is why they don't want to hear the word of God. Because they know the conviction on their heart is heavy. It hurts. But we must submit and be held accountable because our God is righteous. Action is demanded so that we can be changed. So if that means you need to come to the altar and confess your sins, you need to come before God and pray. Do that. Confess it. Handle it. If that means you need to get on your hands and knees till they're bruised and bloody, you need to do that. Forget trying to look weird or trying to not offend anybody with your worship. You need to talk to God now. We need to talk to God now, church. We have to. They might look at you and see a beautiful smile. Some of you guys got really beautiful smiles, beautiful faces. But you know what? God sees that person who is hurting beneath. I'm talking to you. And I know some of you guys might come here and you might listen to sermons every day. And you pray and everything. But you say, God, I'm not changing. I don't know. What is it? Some of you guys are ready for me to get off, but what I'm telling you is there's going to be a day where you have to pay up. And if you do not pay today, eventually there is wrath to come. You have to confess it. You have to handle it now. What I'm trying to say is God has a righteous judgment. If you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart today, from here on out, that you will be saved, don't wait, because that meaning that you will be saved through Jesus Christ, it has power, it has strength. God has revealed himself today and has given you a chance to tell the devil no more. Tell him he is no longer able to bound you. He is no longer able to slave you and hold you captive and as a prisoner to your past and to your sins. No more, because you are better. Because you know if you commit yourself to the word, he'll never leave you nor forsake you. Though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil. Why? Because I know that you're with me. And here's the thing about darkness. Here's the thing about hiding. Here's the thing about not confessing. That is darkness. And when you're in the darkness, you're scared. But see, when you confess, there is light, because you know there is no hiding. There is nothing you need to hide. There is no judgment against you because you have already told it. And when you live in darkness, that means you're hiding something. That means you're holding something in your heart. I'm letting you guys know, God knows it already. We must confess it. Amen? Amen. Okay. So please do not wait any longer to be disciplined and accountable for your actions. Third point, you have a defense attorney. Now, John, you came here today and you're being held as a prisoner for your wrongs. Have you done this multiple times, your wrongs? Have you done them multiple times? Do you have a defense attorney with you today, present with you? Did you come with one?
No.
And for the average person, when they go to prison and they're being held on death row, they are appointed a public attorney. They cannot afford one. And what I want you guys to know is that there is no amount of money, there's no amount of works that you can do that will give you the defense attorney that is willing to sacrifice himself for you. Some of you are here today and you know you have waited way too long in the past. You have waited way too long to let it go. The past has haunted you time and time again because of your past, because of your sins. And it's so hard to let it go. I know. I know it hurts because I've been at the mountaintop and I fell lower than the valley in the Grand Canyon. I know. And every day as a Christian, I struggle to be better. Every day I try to walk, but it is hard. And I know, and you know, because you have tried to be better for so long that you don't know if going further anymore is even worth it. You've tried to be better for so long that you don't want to go on any longer. Have any of you ever felt like a failure to the point you don't know if you can make it anymore? I know that pain. I know, and it hurts knowing that you're not good enough and you're trying to be better every day and you still come up short. I know the hurt, but God has good news for you. See, in chapter 2, verse 16, it says, through Jesus Christ. And this is the good news. This is where we find our glory. This is where we rejoice. It says, this good news comes in the form of a defense attorney. An attorney that is willing to risk it all for us, for you. How awesome is that? To be a prosecutor in a court is easy. Especially when the evidence is there. It's easy to call out somebody's wrongs. It's easy. Oh, this person was doing this. Easy. Oh, I have the evidence of this. Easy. How hard is it to defend somebody you know is wrong? How hard is it to defend somebody knowing that the chips are stacked up against you? Clearly, we have a defense attorney that's willing to risk it on the line. Knowing your wrongs, you know them. Knowing the things, the crime that you've committed multiple times. Knowing that you want to get better and just can't. And how hard it is to do. Knowing all that. Knowing everything you have done. Every day. Arguing with your children. Maybe going against your spouse. Trying to give your children a good example, but clearly you're struggling to be a good example yourself. Staying up at night watching pornography. Lying. Judging others, knowing that you're going home, battling with the same thing. Premarital sex. You come on. You know. We know. Some of us are suffering with drugs, alcoholism. You know what you're a prisoner to. You know your offenses. And I want you guys to know you have a defense attorney that has suffered, that is willing to endure, that has said, I'm willing to go. I'm willing to do the time. You're on death row? Walk free. Go. Walk free. He's willing, knowing that you are wrong, knowing everything that you have done and that you're going to do, knowing it all. He said, give me it. Because you know what? You cannot crown me unless you cross me. Give me the cross. I'll do it. I'll take the mercy. I'll take the pain. He went through the pain. He went through the whips, the mocking, the beating. He did it all. Why? That's a good question. Because what he did, he goes before God, our righteous judge. He goes before him. And he said, Father, I've been through it. I've been on earth. I know how it feels. I've been through the pain. I know the temptation. I was tempted. My spirit was shaken. I know. Jesus said, I will go through it all so I can speak before you. How great is that? Knowing that somebody who loves you so much not only is willing to speak for you, but is willing to say, I will go through it as well. I will put myself in the handcuffs. I will be beaten. I will be mocked. And so when God judges us, he doesn't judge us through the wrath that we are deserving. He judges us through who? Through Jesus Christ. And that is a lens that blankets the punishment we deserve. I don't know who you are, but I know you are suffering. Why do I know that? Because I am suffering myself. I can't tell you guys how many times I've tried, and I still try today, every day, to be better. And I know you want to do better, and it's just like this thing is tearing me apart. I'm trying to get clean, but it's tearing me apart. I'm trying to stop cussing, but it's tearing me apart. I'm trying to get sober, but it's tearing me apart. I don't want to watch it no more. It's tearing me apart. My marriage, my relationship with my kids, the time that I spend with people I love, it's tearing us apart. But I want you to know is that you have a defense attorney that is willing to back you up no matter what. So as people, we have to confess. We have to go before the church and say, I don't care who's looking at me. Father, I want you and only you. I will surrender. Forget the job. Forget the card. Forget the Facebook likes, whatever. I want you, Father, and I need you. And it's told when you've been at your lowest point, you realize that I can't do it on my own no more. I have to repent. I need to change. I'm tired of being stubborn. I want to get better today. I'm willing to do what it takes. Are you willing to do what it takes? So when he goes before us and talks to the judges of judges and speak to the Heavenly Father, he speaks from experience, grace, and love, for he has suffered and he knows our pain. John 3:16-17 says, for this is how God loved the world. And read the highlighted part with me on three. One, two, three. He gave his one and only son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. And this is the last part. God sent his son into the world not to judge the world, but to save the world through him. So to continue my story, when I went outside and this man who I hated, this man who's caused me so much pain approached me, and I thought, 5 years of preparation, committed my life to Christ, and I thought I had it all together. When he approached me, I thought I was going to be in a fight. But you know what? At the end of that conversation, I had tears in my eyes. Because God exposed me to how unrighteous I was. He humbled me. He let me know how far from perfect I was, because I should have acted like a pastor, but I didn't, until this man came to me and he begged for mercy and he begged for forgiveness. And it hit me like a blindside. It hit me like a Mack truck. I've never been hit so hard in my life about my own faith. It took somebody who doesn't even go to church to come to me and ask for forgiveness as a man for me to realize where I was and how far I was. I want to give you guys the opportunity today to let go of the chains and handcuffs that you guys might be bounded by. Elders, you guys are going to do something a little different today. I know you guys didn't know that, but can I have all the elders come forward, the elders that pray? And can I just have you guys hold hands up front here? Congregation, I'm giving you guys the opportunity to let them go. And during this time in the history, we have neglected this opportunity. You guys might have it together. I know you guys might say, you know what? I know. Like, I don't need prayer. You might think that. You might think coming up here is weird. I want to offer you a chance to come up here and hold hands beside the elders. Elders, you don't even have to look at them. Turn this way. Because what's going to happen is you guys are giving your life to Christ. And the plan is for us to be all in hands at the end of the song that's going to be playing, and for us to be connected as a church. One by one, come up, confess your sins, let God know that you're here. There are some things. I know the jitters are telling you, oh, I don't want to do this. This is weird. This is awkward. No, it's deeper than that. It is deeper than that. Some of you have gone through health problems. Some of you guys have a broken relationship with your children. Some of us are addicted to pornography. Some of us have friends that we struggle with because they have turned their back on us. Some of us want to be sober from an addiction. I'm saying come up here and let us pray with you. You don't need to tell anybody your worries, but I'm saying with the power of community, with the power of the church, chains can be broken. So I ask that you guys, one by one, join us in hands. If you're going through something, God knows it. But don't wait, because God is righteous, and you're going to have to be held accountable sooner or later. And I'm letting you guys know you have a defense attorney that is willing to go to war for you. He's willing to sacrifice his life and talk to God.